Well, welcome, Maximum Motivation members. We have Mary Peck with us today, and Mary has over 20 years of leadership experience in all areas of human resources. She has a major emphasis in the areas of organizational leadership development, change management, and then also learning and development. A lot of training of organizations within her background. And Mary holds a master's degree in organizational development, human resources development, and is currently working on her PhD in industrial organizational psychology. Mary, we certainly welcome you today. We think I view it as an absolute pleasure for you taking the time to meet with me and do this conversation. I think it'd be a real benefit to our members. But really appreciate you coming aboard.
Thank you. I'm happy to do so. Anything I can do to help.
Cool. Mary, just real quick, maybe just tell our membership a little bit of what you're doing presently. And then what I want to do is kind of transition into things that could be really helpful for our listeners in terms of employment, workplace environment, setting themselves apart, things like that. Maybe obstacles that you've overcome, things like that. But tell us a little bit about what you're doing presently.
Okay. So presently I'm working for a very large transportation organization, about 40,000 employees, and I'm leading the group that develops all of the training material for that organization.
Mm-hmm. Very good. And of course, that's been your background really through the years. You've been touching in human resources and development, organizational development, personal development. You know, that's why I think it's such a privilege to have you on our show today, because that's what directional motivation is all about, raising people to a higher level and helping them really recognize their potential and achieve their potential, really. But let me start out, Mary, a little bit. As graduates come into the workplace, what I'm finding, you know, as an executive recruiter, I've been recruiting for about 20 years, is that many struggle in that transition of going from college life into the work setting. And I don't know if you've seen that, but what I'd like to have you address is how they can maybe take a look and prepare themselves for the workplace. What can they expect to see when they come in the door? What are the expectations of an employer? How do they meet those expectations in a better way? And so I'll just let you maybe talk a little bit with regards to that.
Okay. I think probably the first thing, you know, there's been a lot of discussion in the workplace over the last few years over the most recent generation entering the workforce. And some of that is angst over, oh my gosh, they've been a very privileged group. And so their expectations are so unreasonable in the workplace. Mm-hmm. And then on the flip side of that, there's these people are very creative and very adept on the technology side. And so we have to find a way to keep them interested, you know, because they bring so much to the table. So I think the first thing when entering the workplace of a college graduate is they need to find a place that the culture meets what they're interested and willing to live with. And what I mean by that is the culture of some organizations are very, very hierarchical. You know, and very much chain of command, very much work your hours. And then there's other organizations that are very creative, you know, and creatively focused. Mm-hmm. And so they're not as concerned about all of that as they are about. And the two companies that come to mind are maybe a company that's been around for 100 years versus a company like Google.
Sure.
And how their employee population works. Mm-hmm. Within that organization. So they need to first find an organization, and that should be an important part, because if they can't live with the type of culture that mm-hmm. they're seeking employment with, then they're not going to be successful mm-hmm. within that organization.
Do you think that they, for instance, you have the corporate structure versus a family-owned type of environment?
Absolutely. Yeah, there's so many different, and those are some good questions. You know, usually when you go through the interview process, at the end of the interview or at the beginning, depending on the company, they'll ask if you have any questions, and it's really, I think it's important for anyone looking for a position to look to see if it's going to be a good fit both ways. It's not mm-hmm. just about securing a job, but it's also about, can I be successful within this organization? Mm-hmm. You know, is this a good fit for me?
Sure. You know, one of the things we're doing is we put together a worksheet that's on our Directional Motivation website, and it has the interviewee rate the culture in terms of a cultural fit from 1 to 10 and why it meets that. Because a lot of times I think what happens is we see individuals interview a number of places and they can't remember the culture and they can't remember what it was that they really liked or didn't like about that. And all these things kind of run together. And so one of the things that we're doing right now is putting together a whole worksheet to help in that interview process. And I would think that would be helpful. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, I'm really glad to hear that, because I think that that's probably the most common thing that's overlooked when people are interviewing. They think they just need to take the job for the salary that they're expecting, and they're not considering if they'll be happy there.
Sure. Another thing that is on our worksheet is, are you looking for a job or are you looking for a career? And there's nothing wrong with either answer, but you know, when you approach that situation, it's very important, I think, to keep that in mind. Are you looking for, is this going to, you know, put food on the table for a while until you get to what you want? Or is this going to be a situation where you're really looking for a foundational situation long-term from a career standpoint?
Yeah, I agree. Those are two very different needs. Mm-hmm. And you would approach it very differently, because if you're seeking a career, you know, you need to be willing to accept something lower than what you had anticipated if you think that it's going to eventually get you to where you want to be mm-hmm. in your career.
What would you see, Mary, as far as for maybe younger individuals early in their career, some of the things that they should look for? I know that your background has been in training and development, that type of thing. From a foundational standpoint, if they're going to establish their career, what are some things about a company that might really stand out that could help them?
Could you rephrase the question, Russ? I want to make sure that I answer
sure.
it.
Absolutely. You know, when they're looking at these companies, and I probably put in this scenario, some companies will pay a lot of money, and so individuals will look at chasing the dollar rather than looking for the foundational things that they could grow their career, you know, set a solid foundation around. And so what I thought I would ask you is, what are some of the things that would help a person in setting up that foundation for their career that they should look for in a company?
Okay. So I would think that they would look for things like, number one, as I already mentioned, is the culture match.
Yep.
But also, what's the security of that organization? Have they been around for a long time? Is it a startup? And sometimes a startup organization can be exciting because you get an opportunity to work in a variety of roles that you wouldn't have the opportunity to work in a large organization. So it really has to do with what your goals are within your career. Just as you said, is it the dollar or is it the career, you know, or is it the benefits or is it the time off mm-hmm. or is it the opportunity to work from home, you know, or the opportunity to use your creativity, you know, which of those things are it? So those are all questions mm-hmm. that they should be finding the answers to when they're looking at any organization.
Sure.
Am I answering your question?
Yeah, I think so. And, you know, I was thinking of the training programs, too. You know, some companies have where they'll have a 3-month, 6-month training program, a mentoring type of program within their system to allow that individual to really grow without a lot of risk.
Right.
Where other ones, you know, they can interview sometimes and you ask about the training programs that are in place and they go, well, you know, not much, but hey, we're going to give you a job.
It's a delicate balance when they're asking those questions, because mm-hmm. they don't want to appear that they're making demands,
sure.
you know, but they do want to find out, does the company match what they're looking for?
Mm-hmm. How about in terms of a person, okay, they've gone through the interview process, taken the job. How do they take and make themselves stand out in a workplace without offending the others around them and appearing as a brown noser, so to speak? How do they do that? That are maybe some steps and things that they could do?
Yeah, that's a really good question. I think the first thing that they should plan on doing is make sure that they find out what's important to their supervisor. What's okay. most important? Is it being there at a certain time of day? Because when I go back to the culture, some cultures are very, if you're not working late, then you're not, mm-hmm. you're not going the extra mile, you know, and other cultures are, I want to see what the product is that you're delivering. So find out what's important mm-hmm. within the organization where you work from your direct supervisor. And I would say the other thing would be to anticipate the needs of others and be responsive to those needs before they have to ask. Mm-hmm. Always find out who your customer is, regardless of where you work, whether you work in a customer service environment or not, you have a customer. Mm-hmm. And that is the person who is the recipient of the product that you deliver.
Right.
So if you find out who that customer is and what they're really looking for, and then you can anticipate those needs and make sure that you're delivering that customer service and exceeding their expectations. Mm-hmm. So to your point about the not being perceived as a brown noser, but as somebody who gets something done, when I think of the difference, I think of a brown noser as being someone who's pretty much always on the heels of their supervisor, following them around the halls, seeing what they can, being over eager. Mm-hmm. And I think that there's a difference between that and delivering a quality product, whatever that product is, and exceeding their expectations. So make sure you understand, sometimes supervisors aren't very good at providing their expectations. Mm-hmm. So be sure and ask what they are. Don't assume that you know what's expected if they haven't clearly defined it. So ask those questions and they'll appreciate it. So I think sometimes supervisors are so busy mm-hmm. that they just don't think, that they need to explain things. They think that things that are common to one person are common to all, and maybe my expectation is that you're at work every day by 7:30, but I haven't bothered to tell you that, and so you come in at 8,
And it happens.
Make sure that you find out what the expectations are if they don't define it. So feel free to ask.
And I think it's true, too. Sometimes those questions aren't asked, you have an individual that will just go to town in a certain area and they think, wow, I'm knocking the ball out of the park. They should be so excited and impressed with me, only to find out that the direction they took is really not what they're looking for at all. And so they might have excelled, but it wasn't an area that really was of importance. And they focused on an area that probably neglected the area of importance. And sometimes it went to whatever that person felt comfortable doing too.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think of a recent example just this week. I was talking to an employee and this particular, you have sick leave at every organization, and this employee uses all of their sick leave every year. And we were talking about the perception of somebody who uses all of their sick leave every year. And this person's response was, okay, well, I thought that was a benefit that I had, and so am I not supposed to use it? Mm-hmm. And that prompted a really interesting conversation, because yes, it is a benefit, but the reality is that if you're somebody who uses all of your sick leave every year, then the perception is that you're not very interested in working.
And there's a difference between sick leave and vacation pay.
Absolutely.
And it's viewed differently by employers too.
Yes.
Yeah,
yes.
Without a doubt. How about, I think we'll just finish on one thing here. I really enjoyed this, Mary. Really, really have. In terms of mentors, how important have mentors been to you in your career? And how does a person take and, number one, find a mentor? How do you approach a mentor? How do you use a mentor?
Okay. So mentors are extremely important in your career, and I want to provide an example of where it was very helpful for me. So I've predominantly worked in male-dominated organizations, and to be a female in a leadership role in male-dominant organizations is difficult in and of itself. But I was fortunate in one organization where a mentor was assigned to me because I was a new manager, and so they provided me a mentor. I made a point to have my meetings, have a monthly meeting with that mentor, and attend any functions and any advice that that mentor gave me as far as other groups or people I should meet. I immediately took that advice and did everything that I could with the information provided. I was fortunate. So this particular mentor was at a director level at the time. And during the time of our mentorship, he was promoted to a VP level. And so, of course, he continued to be my mentor. He continued to recommend me. And I found that I continued to get promoted as well. So I was promoted 3 times within a 2-year period.
Wow.
During that time. This person was reporting directly to the CEO, you know, of a very large organization. That was the company that had 14,000.
Mm-hmm.
So it gave me a lot of visibility. It provided me opportunities I would have never had, and really helped me to meet people that would help my career
mm-hmm.
even further.
Mm-hmm.
So finding a good mentor is, and I've had many mentors through the years, and some are assigned, and some are people that I have sought out.
Right.
And I can tell you from my perspective, when someone has asked me to be their mentor, that is the most flattering request that you can have. So they're not likely to turn you down if there's somebody that you see in the organization that you would like to emulate.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing that is probably the most flattering thing to have someone tell you is, I want to work in your organization,
mm-hmm.
you know? And so when they're saying things like that, then you naturally want to help them, you know, be successful. So if you find someone in your organization, if the company doesn't have a formal mentoring program, then seek someone out.
Mm-hmm.
But I will provide a caution too, because going back to culture, there are some leaders who might be offended, you know, by you seeking a mentor outside of the organization. So just be careful about how you word it, and
mm-hmm.
make sure that you include the people that you should include, you know, in your decision, and keep people in the loop.
Mm-hmm. Very good. You know, it's kind of interesting. I've made the comment. How true it is, I don't know, but we all have mentors in our lives, whether we know it or not, because there's people that we emulate, that we partner with, that type of thing. And so coming back on the statement, mentors are so important, they really are. The selection of a mentor is so important. You know, you get the wrong mentor, you're going to have some problems, you know, if you're mentoring or following their leadership, so to speak. And if you get a great one, they can take you places like you never believed.
Yeah.
So, very good.
That's exactly true.
So, one parting thing here, Mary. You know, you're on our advisory board or panel with Directional Motivation. Why? Tell the listeners maybe what got you excited about what we're doing, and you know, why you want to be a part of it.
Okay. So, I think I've mentioned previously, it's all about helping others be successful. Everything I do in my career is about helping others be successful. And so I find Directional Motivation to be an excellent opportunity for me to help others be successful.
Mm-hmm.
There's lots of tools and resources and people. And you have, if you're looking for mentors, or you're looking for information, or you're looking for guidance, there's a wealth of information provided for you, you know. So just the idea of help, of reaching an even broader audience and being able to provide help in any way is what's exciting about the effort.
Mm-hmm. Good. You know, I got it. I was talking with one individual, and they're going to be helping us with the site as well, a Direct Motivation. And she said, you know, Russ, this really isn't, you know, it's a service. It's all the things that you're saying. She said, but it's really a cause. It really is what she said. When you think about it and you think about the heart and the passion of everybody that's centered around this, she said, it's really a cause. You're trying to make a difference in the world. I said, yep, that's right. We really are. You know?
Yeah, I would agree.
So pretty cool. Well, Mary, really appreciate it. And we'll probably have you on again if you're open to that. And really appreciate your comments and your insights. Very, very helpful.
Absolutely. Happy to help.
All right. Thank you, Mary.